Welcome back to the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobschall, coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn. We have emerged from the fog, and we apologize for the delay, but we were reminiscing on a division championship 2015 season, so a little late in getting the Wobcast up, but those were fond memories. Unfortunately, a bunch of fond memories brought to an end in the bitter cold by a bitter cold ending as the Vikings lose a heartbreaker to the Seattle Seahawks. Where are you in the seven stages of grief process, everyone listening? I'm on step five, which is when you start to reconstruct and build up toward the next goal. Nate, where are you in the seven steps of grief?
Well, I think I'd say I'm still somewhere towards the beginning, because what I've been doing the past few days is going through all the footage from the game.
Yeah.
So I haven't really had a chance to disconnect myself from it yet, because it's the most footage we've shot all season, because it was the biggest game all season. So
I think the first step is denial and anger. So I hope you're out of that.
No, I'm not angry.
Okay, good. You might be out of that. Anyway, I'm on step five, which is the turnaround. This is where you start moving forward. I'm on step five. So that's where I am. I hope the listeners have advanced at least to that stage. But if you're struggling, you may not want to listen to the rest of the Wobcast, or at least to this part of the Wobcast, because we're going to take you straight to Coach Zimmer. He was very emotional in his post-game address. Here's Coach Zimmer after the game.
I'm proud of you. We didn't win today. We outplayed them. We didn't win. We outplayed them. I've never been more proud of a team. Thank you for all the efforts that you've given, okay?
Good day, how was it, man?
Thanks, I'm just 1, 2, 3.
Boys!
It's disappointing that we lost today. I thought we played well enough to win. This team has a lot of fight, a lot of heart. I've probably never been more proud of a football team than I am this team. The way they worked all year long, the way they fought, the way they competed, the way they, the intelligence that they played with, the way they worked. And it's unfortunate that we lost and don't have a chance to continue to move forward. But regardless of what people think and regardless of how they think we play, we're a good football team.
Coach Zimmer's defense played outstanding in the game against the Seattle Seahawks, holding Seattle to, 10 points. So that, a team that was averaging 32 points per game over the last seven, you hold them to 10. Frustrating Russell Wilson and company all game long. Russell Wilson finished 13 of 26 for 142 yards with a touchdown and a pick. So you turned Russell Wilson over with the interception. Rookie cornerback Trey Waynes got his first career interception, so that was awesome. The Vikings held Seattle to 0 of 3 on third downs. Very good there. And won the time of possession battle, which you give credit to the defense for that, for getting off the field on third down. So a very good performance overall by the Vikings defense, save for a scramble play where there was a bad snap to Russell Wilson. He recovered. We took a couple of bad angles pursuing Wilson, and we had a defensive back who let a receiver go, and he was wide open, and Wilson found him and hit him, and the receiver ran down to the one. Save that play, and it was a very, very stout performance by the Vikings defense, and some of those guys were speaking in the locker room on Monday, just one day after their loss in the wild card round.
Does this kind of set the bar for what this team wants to do and can do?
I don't think it sets the bar, because at the end of the day, none of that matters. But I think, like I said, I think it, at least some of the younger guys have played in a playoff game, kind of know the intensity of it, and hopefully we can learn from it, and that'll help us down the road. I think now that the season's over, you want to have optimism going forward. But during the season, it really, I think the day-to-day, one opponent at a time approach is what works for us, and I think that's not going to change. We're optimistic about what we can do. It's not going to get done by, not working hard, not getting better in the off season. And this league's kind of, it's pretty volatile, so anything can happen. You never know exactly what the team's going to look like year to year. So just try to take care of yourself and get ready to go next year.
Now, how do you compartmentalize that, where it's the next opponent, you don't look any further ahead, and then all of a sudden when it's done?
We were kind of talking about that last night, just cause, like, we had, I don't think anybody had plans of us doing this today. We just didn't think about it, and now you got nothing. And it's almost like I should be, like, studying
prepping
film
for Arizona.
Like, yeah, prepping for Arizona. So it's, I wasn't mentally ready for that, so just how it goes, but I still think that's the best way to approach it, because that gets you ready to play that week.
But I'm proud of this football team. I mean, we proved a lot of people wrong this year. We worked hard. We did a lot of good things this year, so we have nothing to hang our head down about.
I think the future's bright. I think we showed this year that we made a huge jump from last year, and I think if we just keep, you know, bringing in guys that do the right things, and that we have all 11 guys, you know, completing their assignments and just doing their job, you know, we've got a lot of great things we can accomplish in the future. You know, like I said, as a young guy, you think these opportunities are going to come around all the time just because you're on a good team, and as an older guy, you start to understand that these opportunities come few and far in between. It's hard to have put in all the work. A lot of us made personal sacrifices to help this team win this year, and now you've got to look forward to a whole nother year before you can get back to that opportunity. So it's tough.
Oh yeah, it definitely happened fast. I wasn't expecting this. I wasn't expecting to come, you know, to my locker and clean it out and, you know, clean up my house, like, and pack it away and get ready to leave. I wasn't expecting it at all. Happened fast. Tough loss yesterday. I can't do nothing about it now. Got to learn from it and move on.
What was the last 24 hours like?
It was rough. It was rough. I couldn't sleep. I kept watching ESPN, NFL Network, and, you know, watched the game again on my iPad, you know, just to see what I could have did different and to put my team in position to win this game. We fell short. A tough loss. Like I said, man, I can't even explain it, you know, how I feel. And I was trying to just explain to some of the guys, man, you don't get these opportunities often. You don't get them often. It's not promised that we'd be in the same situation next year. But we definitely can't control that. We just got to go out there this off season and get better and learn from it.
You feel like you're a lot better team today than you were last year at this time?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. We would have been packed up and left last year. We've been packed up and left. Made it to the wild-card round of the playoffs. Lost a heartbreaker. And felt like we put ourselves in position to win the game. We fought hard on all phases. Just fell short.
Chad Greenway and Brian Robinson spoke very highly of you the last few weeks. Just your involvement and your motor. What does it mean, I guess, for guys like that to give you such high praise?
I mean, it's awesome, you know. It's what I work for. Respect to my teammates, so can't ask for any more.
How would you assess your rookie season?
I was telling him, I feel like I did some good things. I got better as the year got on. But there's a lot of things I left out on the field, and I want to come back next year and complete.
You hear people talk about that rookie wall. You kind of flipped that script and got better as the year went on. Anything
special?
There
was no rookie wall for me. I still have a lot left in the tank right now. And I'm going to just use it as motivation and come back strong.
For yourself, you get here your first year. How hard do you feel like you have to fight to get back? And do you have to keep that in mind? This, you know, these don't come around all that often.
I'm well aware how tough the NFL is and how tough it is to win. You know, I was part of a lot of these games, you know, and I fought, you know, myself personally, you know, to help win. So I know how tough it is, and I know how tough it is to win, and I know how much hard work we put in. And hey, I mean, we're gonna keep putting hard work in. So
you guys have a young core on this defense that looks like it's gonna grow together. How encouraging is that for you, that the sky's the limit for this group?
It's very encouraging. You know, we got a lot of guys who are hungry, a lot of guys who are willing to work, put in the hours, you know, and work with each other, you know, put the team above themselves. So, you know, that's a winning formula.
You know, it's all about the guys in the locker room. You know, it's up to us to, you know, come back in great shape, come back in, you know, get ready to play football, come back and execute your assignment, and you know, and just do all the right things this offseason, you know, stay out of trouble, you know, but spend time with your family. But, you know, it's all about us, man. We got to come back and just do your job and like we did and, you know, just figure out where we went wrong and improve on them areas.
Do you agree with Captain saying it's better to talk about the loss and use it as motivation rather than
No, it is what it is, man. We should have won that game. I feel like I said that yesterday, and you know, but it didn't happen. You know, hats off to Seattle. You know, they stayed in for four quarters, and you know, they fought in. You know, you gonna win the games in the fourth quarter. But at the end of the day, our biggest thing that we have to do right now is, you know, take this loss and, you know, let it sink in, and you know, and not feel this way anymore. You know, we're a great team, man, and we got to start realizing that we got great individuals on this team. We got great players that, you know, win their individual battles. And the biggest thing that we got to do is we just got to finish. We got to finish, and we got to just fight. You know, we got to come back with the same competitiveness. We got to come back and compete. We got to come back and do all the little things that we didn't do this season to make our team better. And, you know, and we just got to take this as motivation. And, you know, we don't know what next season holds. Only thing that we could do is work and get back where we need to be.
Not as banner of a performance by the offense when you look at the statistics, but when you look at how they executed the game plan, I thought it was pretty good. They possessed the ball, generally speaking. They took care of it, with the exception of Adrian's fumble. In the first quarter, the Vikings held the ball for almost the entire first quarter. They had two long drives, and you had a defense with a three and out in between. And so the Vikings did a great job of possessing the ball. The offense kept Seattle's offense off the field. And unfortunately, they were not able to punch the ball into the end zone when they got into the red zone. So some things upon which you can build, some things upon which you can improve. Vikings offensive players in the locker room here at Winter Park the day after losing to Seattle in the wild card round.
You know, it's tough, but it's a very emotional time right now. You know that nothing in this league stays the same, and you know, this may be the last time you're in the locker room with some of these guys. But you know, it's a great run this year. You know, I'm very proud of this team. You know, we reached a bunch of our goals this year, but we didn't get all of them. So you know, we're just going to use this as a motivator heading to this offseason and try to come back strong next year.
Teddy, people talk about, you know, this could be a valuable lesson, but it's also never guarantee you're ever going to be back in that position again. How do you sort of balance those two thoughts that, you know, there was a lost opportunity, but we don't know where we're going to get another one?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you have to live in the now. And, you know, nothing in this league stays the same. So this is our opportunity to do something special. And, you know, the things that we did accomplish this year were pretty special also. But, you know, we wanted to make a run for something even bigger. And to know that it may have been the last time taking the field with some of the guys in this locker room, it's very emotional.
It hurts, you know, but so what can you do? You know, it is what it is. You have to just take it as that, and you know, get your mind focused on next year. You know, so I already set my top goal for next year is win the NFC North and you know, playing in the Super Bowl in Houston. But I don't do anything different. I just go after it harder. You know, so a lot of motivation going into this offseason. Some things that we want to accomplish for next year, and you know, my mindset is just to come back and you know be the best. You guys have seen just overall, and you know, for this organization as well.
Adrian, lots of people obviously talk about winning the Super Bowl, but how realistic is it that this team potentially could next year?
It's definitely realistic. You know, I feel like offensively, there's some things that we can do better as players. You know, Coach Turner and his staff, they did a great job of putting us in a position to win this season. You know, things, you know, changed throughout the season, and we found the right formula. You know, but I feel like with the group of guys that we have, and you know, the way guys fight for each other, defenses, you know, those guys showed me something yesterday. You know, and it's not like it. You know, I haven't seen it throughout the season, but, you know, yesterday those guys really stepped up, you know, to the plate. So, you know, when I just look at us overall, special teams included, you know, I feel like the sky's the limit for us. And so, you know, we're bringing players to help us. You know, I know Rick is going to do a great job of doing that. What he's done these past couple of years, and that's why we are the type of team that we are now. You know, so I think, you know, our chances is as good as anyone's.
My hurts, you know. had a long season. We accomplished a lot. That's obviously not the way we wanted to go out. But, you know, as you look back on, you know, the memories of the season, there's a lot to be proud about. And, you know, of course, you know, getting into the playoffs, we would like to, you know, go to the Super Bowl and stuff like that. But, you know, got to take the loss and move on. And now it's time to, you know, hit the off season and get better for next year.
What will you take out of this season?
Just the growth that I had, you know, still being a young guy and being able to learn from the older guys, you know, and, you know, just being ready when your number's called. You know, continue to work my craft, continue to get better, and, you know, see what I bring to the team next year.
Jerick, how do you think the fit worked with having Adrian back this year and your role? How do you think that played out this season?
I think it played out good. You know, I had nothing against it. Like I said, being a young guy, I learned a lot from that man. And, you know, got nothing but respect for him. So, you know, he's going to be back next year. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, we know what it feels like to get to this point and, you know, what it feels like to lose at this point. So, you know, I'm pretty sure next year's team will have that on their heads and, you know, that chip on their shoulder to get past the point next year.
How would you assess your rookie season?
It was all right, man. Didn't end the way we wanted to. A lot of things to look forward to in the off season, so just wish things would have ended better.
Lots of young talent. What's the future look like here?
We got lots of guys that can play. As we can see, as you saw all year, a lot of young guys stepped up. They played at a high level, so I respect those guys and I appreciate them. So look forward to next year. Really just coming back. Get on your ground in the off season. We're going to be better. We're going to be better than ever next year.
Better to get this praise from Adrian knowing that he doesn't have a real affinity for fullbacks historically?
Yeah, I've heard that. but, you know, I just tried to, being here with Jerome too, I got to see, you know, what Adrian liked. And, you know, I just tried to get out of his way as fast as possible, but still make a good block. And, you know, I think we got a good relationship going. You know, I think as the season went on, we got more and more comfortable with each other.
Good overall season for you. Led the team in receiving yards. Any comment on that today, or should look at it as any?
It's just scratching the surface. It's just the beginning. I'm still young. Got a lot of time to grow. But it's just the beginning really for me, so I see y'all next year. We'll have a real conversation then.
Individually, though, I mean, pretty satisfied with how the year went. I mean, you get the contract and turned into a pretty good third down target for Teddy.
You know, I am kind of happy on how the year ended, but you know, anytime the season ends, it's always too. Well, anytime the season ends without a Super Bowl, it's always too early. You know, continue to grow. We have a great team, great atmosphere around here, great guys and great coaches upstairs. So we just have to continue to build with what Coach Zim and Rick Spielman and all the guys upstairs started.
What was Zim's message to you guys this morning?
You know, he let us know how proud of us he was, and you know, we played hard yesterday, and basically it was nobody's fault.
How much have the older guys kind of preached about the opportunity to get into the playoffs?
Just as far as it doesn't come around all the time, but as far as you need to make it a regular occurrence, I mean, not only just this year, but need to go back a couple more times within the next year. Just keep going, just to build that type of just tempo for the team, just as far as expect to win. Don't play like timid or anything like that. We need to expect to win, expect to go back to the playoffs, because we do have a good team.
What restricted free agent this offseason? Any concerns on what the future might hold there?
I don't know. Well, this is my first time being in this situation, so, you know, we'll see how that goes. You know, I would hope to be back here. You know, this has been my home, and you know, I really like this team and what we got going on here. So hopefully, back in Minnesota.
Individually, Jerick is a highlight. Maybe finally getting into the end zone.
Yeah, I would say so. Was blessed and fortunate to get my first touchdown, and you know, I just got, you know, so much respect and love for the guy, my teammates, and the guys in this locker room, and the coaches. So. You know, I can't wait to see, you know, what everybody does in the offseason and, you know, how they come back and just get better.
You know, you can't take away from the season that we had. Nobody expected us to be where, you know, where we were. And, you know, with the opportunity we had yesterday, we could have went even, prove even more people wrong, I guess you can say. So, you know, I think we exceeded people's expectations, not ours in here, because we expected us to be there. We expect to win, and that's how we are around here.
Day one from like training camp, you guys expected to be
competition? We did. We knew we were a good team, and no matter what anyone said, we knew that we had the team that could make it to the playoffs and, you know, make a little noise.
After the final game of every season, regular season, or if you go to the postseason, that following week, the coach has his season-ending press conference. Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer did that on Tuesday of this week, and he basically opens the thing up by summarizing his team's performance in the previous game, sometimes his team's performance throughout the entire season, and then reporters have the floor to ask the coach questions about the game or about the season. So that happened on Tuesday, and here's some of what Coach Zimmer had to say.
Well, the one thing that I love the most about this football team is that we have a lot of great guys on this team, a lot of high-character guys that that know how to work. You know, somebody called me the other day and asked me, you know, how do they work? How do they compete? How do they? And I said, I've never had an issue with this team since I've walked in the door about competing or working or trying to get better. That's the one thing. Like I said before, you know, there's no guarantees moving forward. Next year is a whole new year. Things happen. You don't know, different schedule, all kinds of things. But the one thing that I know about this football team is they'll work, and they're high character guys. And so that's, to me, that's a really good starting point to have these kind of guys. So I think in that aspect, they're very well equipped to handle it. But we've got a ton of work to do. You know, I've been looking at a lot of different things already. It'll be a big, important offseason for us as far as moving forward to where we want to get to. We've got, like I say, so much work to do, and we've already started the process of some of it.
And what are some of those things you're looking at?
Oh, just areas that we need to improve on. You know, we've got to get better. Really in all three phases, but offensively we've got to get better. We didn't do enough there. Defensively, there's quite a few things that we still have to get better at that I'm not satisfied with. You know, we gave up some returns in the kicking game that we have to get done, but you know, it's really at the starting point right now.
Last year you prioritized defense. Do you think this year will be more of a push to maybe help Teddy out with either offensive line help or some pass catchers for him?
Well, I think there's some areas on offense that we need to get better at, but a lot of off areas. But you know, man, I think it's more about getting good football players in here and figuring out a way. So the more good football players we can get, the better it is. And last year we didn't go in saying, hey, we're going to draft Kendricks and Trey Waynes and all that at the beginning. Sometimes those kind of things just happen. You know, a guy that you really like is there when you pick, and that's kind of really the mentality, is get good football players in here however we can get them.
Where do you think you became a better coach this year, and sort of what's on your mind moving forward for your own kind of doing the job?
Well, I'm not sure that I have become a better coach. I'm trying to become a better coach every day. And my mind going forward is trying to get this team to where I want them to go, and how we can improve and how we can get better. Trying to figure out what's the best way of moving forward to go.
All right, so let's go through some of the good and the bad from the Seattle Seahawks game. The good. Nate, I thought the game plan was very good. The Vikings knew it was going to be tough to score points against the Seattle defense. And so my perception, and of course I was not in the game plan meeting on the Tuesday before the game, but watching the game unfold the way it did, my perception was, all right, on offense, we're going to chew some clock. We know it's going to be tough sledding in the run game, but we're going to stick with it. We're going to keep the clock going, and we're going to try and extend drives, and we're going to keep this Seattle offense off the field as much as we can. The Vikings held the ball for 12 minutes and 57 seconds in the first quarter. Seattle had it for just 2 minutes in the first quarter. So I thought the game plan worked basically to perfection. You know, and if you remember in the game, Nate, I mean, like Seattle had run like three plays with 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. So like when you were shooting the game, you're shooting all Vikings offense, you know, and I'm sitting there going like, this is perfect. We're winning 3-0 and a quarter of the game's already over.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember thinking exactly that. There's like 2 minutes left in the first quarter before they got the ball for their second time. And
yeah.
And one of those plays was a fun play for me to watch, is the punter fumbling the snap and then trying to jump over Vikings defenders and then breaking his nose and falling on his face.
Literally landing nose first on the frozen tundra of TCF Bank Stadium with Jerick Jett McKinnon then falling on top of him.
We can joke about it now because we know he's okay. It is a bummer that he had a broken nose, but punters, you got to have fun with them.
Yeah, right. So I thought that was a good thing the Vikings did. I get it that it wasn't sexy. We didn't score a touchdown. We only scored 9 points, and you expect more from your offense. So that's not good. But I like that our coaching staff devised this game plan, had a vision for what they had to do to beat this team, given the weather and given the gravity of the game, and then the players executed what that plan was. I think that's good when you're able to come up with a plan and your players can execute it, and it's not the same thing every single week with this team. It was something different every week, and the players, by and large, executed it well, and they did that against Seattle, and so I thought that was good.
And you could tell the players were good with it too, because normally if a game plan is just ground and pound over and over and over again, you're going to see a little bit of uneasiness, especially if you look towards like some of the wide receivers on any team. They're going to say, why am I not getting the ball? Yeah. There was none of that. I mean, they were completing the short passes when they tried, so that was helpful as well, but they were fine with grounding and pounding it with Adrian and running that clock down.
Another thing I liked was our fourth down defense, holding Seattle to 0 of 3 on fourth downs. Now, the first one that I can remember was a 4th and 13. Obviously, you should hold the defense in that situation. But so often against some of these elite quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, they'll find a way to make a play. Or if nothing is there, they'll find a way to draw a penalty on you, a pass interference or something like that. And the Vikings did a very good job against Russell Wilson as a whole, but did a very good job on fourth down, holding Seattle to 0 conversions on fourth down. So love that. Clutch moments. Vikings defense really showed up. And then I thought Teddy's performance was good. Again, unable to punch the ball into the end zone or throw the ball into the end zone once we got inside the red zone. But I left that game thinking that was a big moment for Teddy, and it didn't look too big for him. I mean, he was 17 of 24 for 146 yards, which means he had more completions and more yards than Russell Wilson. The difference, of course, is that Russell threw a touchdown when he was in the red zone. I believe that touchdown to Baldwin, I'm looking here, it was a 3-yard pass. So they were inside the 5, able to get it in. Teddy could not do that. That turned out to be the difference in the game. But for the balance of the game, I thought Teddy did a good job. He was smart with the football. He did not turn it over, had a high percentage of completed passes, and given how we had to operate with the game plan and given how the weather forced us to operate, I thought Teddy operated very well within all of those circumstances. So I like that. The bad, of course, Blair's miss from 27 yards. That's a 99% kick. All NFL kickers this season were 179 of 181 from that distance or shorter. So it was a 99% probability make, and of course Blair missed it, so we didn't like that. Adrian's fumble was key later in the game, fourth quarter. Obviously that hurt us. We were able to recover and drive down and get ourselves in position to kick a field goal to win the game, but still that fumble didn't help matters. And then the fumble play that we referenced earlier, where there's a bad snap, Russell Wilson recovers, Captain Munnerlyn and Eric Kendricks converge on Russell, but it's too late. Russell finds Tyler Lockett, who broke open because Josh Robinson let him go. Unfortunately, Josh Robinson was able to recover and catch him before he got into the end zone, so we prevented a touchdown on that play. But a few moments later, it was Russell Wilson to Doug Baldwin for a 3-yard touchdown, and that turned out to be enough to help the Seahawks win, as Steven Hauschka came on later to kick a field goal to give him 10 points and beat us 10-9. Last thing we didn't like was our red zone offense. We were in the red zone twice, and we were 0-for-2 scoring touchdowns, and that was something, Nate, that kind of hampered us all season, I thought. It flared up at times. It got better at times, but I think when you look at not personnel, but when you look at things as a team that we can be better at, red zone offense, certainly one of them. There are others, but when you're inside the red zone like that and you want to beat a good team, got to score touchdowns.
It's true, and it's got to be pretty high on the list of things to address in the offseason. But people always say, you know, as you get closer to the end zone, it does get harder to score that touchdown. There's less field for the defense to protect. And when you're talking about a defense like Seattle, that makes a big difference.
Right. They don't need any advantages as it is. And then, of course, when they have less field to defend, it's easier for them. So, but Seattle knows all about that because they lost the Super Bowl last year when they had a turnover at the goal line against the New England Patriots. So, you know, they've been on both sides of that, and they were on the better side of it against us on Wild Card Weekend this year. A few other general talkers from this game, Nate. The people who have emailed or tweeted me, if I had like a pie chart for you and it was like what percentage of the people were like this and what percentage of the people were like that, honestly, it's 90% or higher who are like, we love you, Blair. We were only in the game the way we were because of you and your three made field goals. Not one person loses a game. This is a team sport. We believe in you. And right after the game, if you looked at my Twitter timeline, and I'm sure yours too, it wasn't that way. But in the hours and days since then, you know, Vikings fans, I've just been really impressed with how they've supported Blair and with their perspective on it, knowing that, you know, not one play does a game make or break.
And you can say the same about the guys in the Vikings locker room, too. Mm-hmm. Even right after the game, they were obviously bummed because what they'd all worked so hard for is finished. Mm-hmm. But they were still supportive for Blair, even 20 minutes after the kick actually happened.
Yeah, I happened to be in the locker room right after the game, and I think that's a sanctuary for the players, and I think that area should remain private. So I never intend on sharing stuff that you see there because that's their domain. But one thing I will share is I saw Chad Greenway embrace Blair, you know, right away when he walked in, and he's a guy who's a 10-year veteran. Don't know how many more games you're going to play, if any more. And if you could excuse anyone for being completely upset and beside himself at Blair, it would be Chad. But he was the complete opposite, you know, completely understanding. And, you know, that was really good to see. It was also really good to see Blair handle it the way he handled it right after the game in the locker room. And then, of course, on Monday in the locker room, here are a few things Blair had to say about the missed kick, the game, the season, and what's ahead for him.
You know, a lot of guys in this locker room fought yesterday, fought hard to win, and, you know, I'm proud of the effort that our team put out there.
What was it like this morning coming in with the guys?
You know, they're all supportive, and, you know, they're fantastic guys here, and I think that speaks to them as individuals and as men, and, you know, to come in here and support me, and, you know, I think to an extent I've earned that. You know, I've come here and I've produced for this team, and, you know, yesterday was... It was, you know, not what I wanted, and it was a key moment, and I have to make that kick. But, you know, I've made my, you know, fair share of big kicks here in my career, and I'll continue to do that. But, you know, that doesn't overshadow what I did yesterday. And, you know, I need to do better, and I think everybody knows that. But I think that's part of the reason why they're able to be so supportive and kind towards me.
What's it like? I mean, do you not sleep at night? Do you go back and watch the tape? What do you do?
You know what? It's part of your job. You know, I knew that coming into this league, that you're going to be put in these pressure situations. And, you know, if you want to succeed at this level, you're going to have to take those risks and, you know, embrace those situations. And yesterday it just, you know, it didn't happen for me. And I got to do better than that. And I'll be the first one to tell you that. But, you know, I'll be more confident going into next year. I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, this will drive me to work even harder. And, you know, I had those struggles early on in the year, but, you know, finished the year in a really good streak and a really high note. And then, you know, for it to kind of end that way in the playoffs, that was tough. But, you know, I'm confident in my abilities, and I know that I can continue to be elite at this level. And, you know, it's tough. Yesterday's tough, but it's part of the job.
Another one, Russell Wilson. Not his ordinary game. Vikings defense really did a good job of containing him. And I think you give credit to the entire defense and to the coaches for constructing the plan and the players for executing it. But drilling down deeper, just my thoughts from watching it, I just remember thinking our DNs did a great job of containing Russell Wilson. You did not see Russell Wilson reverse pivot from behind the pocket and get out free out wide and make big throws down the field. You never saw that. I think you give a lot of credit to our DNs for containing him and to our D tackles for working very well in concert with the DNs to help contain. So I give our defensive line a lot of credit. I know defensive line coach Andre Patterson was very pleased with how his guys played in that game. And even though it was a loss, you can't get mad at Andre Patterson for thinking his guys played well, because the Vikings defense held Seattle to 10 points and the D-line did a great job against Russell Wilson. Another reason I think the Vikings did a nice job against Russell Wilson is the cornerbacks were great in coverage for the most part. I thought they did a good job on Tyler Lockett, on Doug Baldwin, and on Jermaine Kearse. You had Trey Waynes with two pass breakups and with an interception. You had Harrison Smith with a key pass breakup right on the goal line. So I thought the safeties did a good job in coverage as well. So I give our defensive backs a lot of credit for the way they were able to cover. And we talk about it all the time. The key to a good pass defense, it's the combination of rush and coverage. And the Vikings defensive line and secondary did a great job with that in the game on Sunday. And very briefly, before we move on, a few reasons, Vikings fans, that you should be optimistic about your team even in this loss. If you think back, Nate, to the two previous heartbreaking losses in the playoffs by the Vikings, they came in NFC Championship games. You have the loss to Philadelphia in 2008, and I believe Philadelphia in 2004, but not in heartbreaking fashion like this one was. But if you go back to heartbreaking losses, it's the 09 title game to the New Orleans Saints, and it's the 1998 title game to the Atlanta Falcons. Both times, field goals essentially ended the game. A missed field goal for the Vikings basically sealed their fate in that game, but then a made field goal by the Saints sealed the Vikings' fate in 09. Okay. The difference between what happened in those two instances and this time is this year's Vikings team is a young team that's on the rise that will be looking to recapture some of their magic and chemistry. The 98 team was a veteran team that kind of was pushing all of its chips in the middle of the table, and the 09 team was certainly a veteran team that was doing that. You had Jared Allen and Kevin and Pat Williams and Brett Favre. So that was, you know, Steve Hutchinson. That was certainly a team that was a veteran team. And so the difference here is we have a young team, a team that's still on the rise, and so I think there are a lot of reasons to be optimistic. The defense is young. The core players on defense are young. Mike Zimmer's got something working there. I think Teddy has shown some promise and showed some improvement, and I think if we can get an offensive line that can protect him consistently, you'll see an even better season from Teddy. And, of course, you have the best running back in the NFL. You had a rookie wide receiver in Stephon Diggs who looked very good. And so I think there are lots of reasons for optimism, folks, for your team as you head into the offseason leading up to the 2016 season.
All right, we'll move on from this loss and we'll move on to over-unders in this game.
Great idea. I think this is very good. We should recap how I did in over-unders.
I think we should too.
Okay, good. I'm very, very much looking forward to this.
So we wiped the slate clean after the regular season, a brand new start in the postseason, and we started with tackles by Vikings rookies. Mm-hmm. We put total tackles by Vikings rookies at 8.5, and you took the over. You thought it'd be a huge game for Kendricks. He played well, just didn't rack up as many stats as maybe you thought. Danielle Hunter, Trey Waynes both had some action. Ended up being a total of 6, 4 for Kendricks, 1 for Hunter, and 1 for Waynes. So it was under the 8.5, so you were incorrect. Not off to a great start.
Yeah, but look, I mean, Waynes intercepted that pass, so if he wouldn't have intercepted it, the guy would have caught it, and then Waynes would have tackled him.
No, that's not totally so true. Because it was a tip pass. It was already behind him.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I lost on this one. I was confident on this one. This was the one I was like, I'm pretty sure I got this one. But I didn't. And so I start out 0-1. But I have a feeling good things are coming.
The first good thing is we kick and punt return touchdowns in the game. We had Tyler Lockett, a very good returner on their side. We like our guy and Cordero Patterson.
Yep.
So we thought, hey, maybe there would be. You took the under, however, on a 0.5 over-under. You said there would not be a kick or punt return for a touchdown. That was correct.
Yeah, we look, Tyler Lockett did some damage on the scramble play where Russell Wilson found him and he got down to the one. But we held Tyler Lockett in check in the return game. One kickoff return for 12 yards. Blair Walsh, another thing he did a great job of on Sunday was touchbacks. He had three touchbacks on kickoffs. Not bad in those conditions. So good job by our kicker and by our special teams in holding down Tyler Lockett.
You mentioned the conditions. That's the basis of our third over-under. We looked ahead at the Vikings.com weather predictor, and it had the temperature at kickoff at 3 degrees, I believe. We put the over-under at 2.5 as the predicted kickoff temperature. You took the under. You said it'd be colder than that. Turns out you were right. It was much colder, and I can attest to that.
I nailed it.
You did.
I had a feeling that this was going to be really historically cold.
It was historically cold. Negative 6 degrees was the kickoff temperature. Coldest in Vikings history and third coldest in NFL history.
Pretty cool. And how cool was it to see Bud Grant at the beginning of the game?
Yeah, he's no stranger to the cold temperatures. No.
Short sleeve golf polo shirt for Bud Grant, who was the honorary captain in the game. He struts out for the opening coin toss in a short sleeve shirt.
And it wasn't just a run out and run back inside.
No.
He walked out to the coin toss. He stood out there with all the players, took his time getting back. Like, he was in no rush. He was loving it.
He's good. He's cool.
In his element, you could say.
That is BA, is what I would say. But got this one, which moves me to 2-1.
2-1 in the playoffs, and it looks like that's your record for the playoffs then. So congratulations on your over 500 record.
Thank you. I'm a plus 500 guy in over-unders in the playoffs, so I'm fine with that. Speaking of the playoffs, let's take a look at the playoff picture, as depressing as it is because we're not in it anymore. But let's talk these games out a little bit, Nate. The first playoff game of the weekend was Kansas City at Houston. You had Kansas City, a wild card team, at the Houston Texans, champions of the AFC South, and the Chiefs stayed hot and took it to Houston. You had J.J. Watt, who had to leave the game in the middle of it and ended up having surgery because of a sports hernia, and the Chiefs win 30-0. They advanced to play at New England this weekend. Your thoughts on that game, either the KC-Houston game, Nate, or the Kansas City-New England game coming up this weekend?
Well, we should start with it being the first Kansas City playoff win since 1993.
Is that right?
When Joe Montana was a quarterback. Oof. So it's been a few years.
Yep.
So I don't know if you could call it worth the wait, because that's a really long wait.
Right.
But nice for the Chiefs fans to get that win.
11 straight wins for your Kansas City Chiefs the last time they lost.
Your Minnesota Vikings.
Right here in Minnesota to the Vikings.
So we still have that.
They are on a roll. The second game was the Saturday night game. It was Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Of course, the drama that unfolded there was unbelievable, with the Bengals kind of melting down at the end of the game, and then they wind up losing the game 18-16 on a last-second field goal by the Pittsburgh Steelers. The health of Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown is in flux right now as the Pittsburgh Steelers prepare to go and face the Denver Broncos in Denver this weekend. The first game on Sunday, of course, was the Seattle Vikings game. Seattle wins 10-9. They go on to play the Carolina Panthers in what is a great matchup between two very good defenses. The Carolina Panthers were 15-1 and have one of the better defenses in the NFL. The Seattle Seahawks are the wild card team, of course. They're the sixth seed, but they're playing as well as any team in the NFL right now, and that is a game, Nate, that I'm very excited to watch. I could see it being a high-scoring game because of those offenses and how powerful they can be, but I can see it being a low-scoring game as well, and this is I'm not going to say this is the true NFC championship game, because that's disrespecting the Arizona Cardinals and the Green Bay Packers, who play in the other divisional round game of the weekend, but it's just a game that I'm super excited to go and watch because of how these two defenses can play. The Green Bay Packers at the Arizona Cardinals, because the Green Bay Packers defeated the Washington Redskins 35-18. They rolled in this game. I think it kind of started out as a meat grinder in the first quarter, but Green Bay's offense found its rhythm. Eddie Lacy and Aaron Rodgers rolled over the Redskins defense. They get a 35-18 victory. All the Packers were talking about after the game is how the offense found its rhythm, and it just took one game like this to get back on track. And I think that sets up a showdown in the desert where the Packers will go there looking for redemption from losing earlier in the season to the Arizona Cardinals at University of Phoenix Stadium. That'll be a rematch for the Green Bay Packers. as they battle the Arizona Cardinals for a chance to go to the NFC title game. Now, if the Packers win that game on Saturday night, they will be rooting for the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday, because if the Seahawks win and the Packers win, the NFC title game is in Green Bay.
Wow.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, we don't like that very much. So we're not in it, but it will be a drama-packed weekend once again for the NFL in the playoffs. We'd be remiss to not mention also this week, it was decided that the St. Louis Rams would be moving to Los Angeles. So that was big news in the NFL. The Vikings also have parted ways with offensive line coach Jeff Davidson and are in the process of filling that vacancy right now. I think those are all the odds and ends, and that's the recap from the wild card loss to the Seattle Seahawks. So the season has ended, folks, but the work has only begun as the Vikings get ready for the 2016 season and get ready to move into U.S. Bank Stadium, with that building set to open when the Vikings open up in the preseason. So between now and then, of course, lots of stuff is going to happen, and we're going to be your source for all of it. The news and the analysis of what happens, it will all happen on Vikings.com, and we'll talk about most of it right here on the Wobcast. So on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We want to thank you for listening to the Wobcast all season, and we want to pledge to you to keep on coming back for more Wobcasts. We'll be producing them. We hope you are listening to them, because there's lots in store for the Vikings this offseason. Up immediately, filling out the coaching staff, going to the Senior Bowl, and getting ready for the Combine. Lots of great content related to those events. We're going to have it for you right here on Vikings.com and on the Wobcast. Until next time, talk to you guys later. So, yeah!